Welcome to the Earth Keepers Podcast. This podcast is for people who seek new and better ways to love and care for the Earth. It's a podcast for anyone who is deeply concerned about the harm being done to the environment on a local and global level. It's a podcast that builds community and connection between people of like heart and mind, people who believe that Earth care should be integrated into every aspect of life, and for many in the Earth Keepers community, that includes our spiritual practices. In this episode, we talk with Sashi and Vidya Chintala. Since moving to the U.S. from India, this couple, along with their daughter Eva, have sought to green every aspect of their everyday lives. From their distinctively Indian cultural perspective, they offer unique and challenging insights into the nature of an earthkeeping lifestyle.
We are a collectivist culture, so there is a collective understanding of self in relation to each other, and the same with the creation too. That means our identity is primarily based on our relationships with other. When it comes to collectivist, it helped me, I don't know, somehow I was shocked with this understanding in the Western culture that man is given a higher place. And I was like, no, we are all in it together. So the collectivist part of me, it made it easier for me to treat creation as equals.
Welcome, friends, to the Earth Keepers Podcast. Well, friends, today we have a special episode in that we have four people in the virtual studio. Among them is my sometime co-host, James Amidon. Welcome, James.
Thanks, Forrest, and hello, everybody. It's really great to be with you again.
So, James, you and I both consider our guests friends, and perhaps you could tell us how you know them.
I'm really excited to introduce our guests to everyone today. I met them several years ago when they arrived at Highland Covenant Church in Bellevue, Washington, where I was the pastor. And I have gotten to know them as kind, thoughtful, generous people who have also become quite the earth keepers. And I'm excited for them to share their story today. Their names are Sashi and Vidya Chintala. And Forrest, you know them as well.
I do. I know Vidya primarily because she was a student in my community development program and then met Sashi through her later on. So welcome, Vidya, Sashi. Perhaps you could talk to us a bit about what you do with your time these days.
Sure. My name is Sashi Chintala. So I'm an IT professional, my wife Vidya, and I moved to the US for my work in 2014. We live near Seattle, Washington, and we have a two and a half year old daughter. Her name is Eva Grace. So yeah, basically I do my work, and then after the work, probably we do some gardening and spend time with my daughter and go for a bicycle ride on a trail. So yeah, that's pretty much about it, what we do.
Hi, everybody. I am Vidya. Besides all the parenting and housekeeping, I enjoy gardening. I enjoy learning. I like to volunteer at local nonprofits and spend time with kids in my community. And recently, we started a YouTube channel called Wildly Wonderful World, where we make videos on our own experiences and share information on everyday practices of creation care that we can practice within our homes, within our gardens, with kids, and as a community.
You have been exploring different ways to practice earth care these days. I'm wondering if you could tell us a bit about some of the things you've been learning and trying out.
I think one of the significant things I can point out to was when we bought this house, probably a year ago, we were intentional about furnishing our house just with used stuff, like recycled stuff. Most of our furniture, we bought it on OfferUp. I even bought house plants and pots on OfferUp. That's how I started my love for plants. And I found that whenever we bought something that way, every element in the house had a story to tell. So each time someone would come visit us, I would say, oh, I got this from OfferUp and it has a story. So that way I'm also talking to my friends about recycling stuff, and not just clothes or furniture. It could practically be anything that you can use recycled. That's one aspect. And then we started making changes to our lifestyle. Now that I have a laundry room, I always hang dry all my clothes, and I use soap nuts. So these were something that we used back home in India. So we use that as a laundry detergent. So that reduces all the chemicals and the plastics and everything involved with that. another aspect would be, thanks to Courtney in her recent podcast, she was like, we should change the shampoo bottles. And I was like, yeah, I've been thinking about doing that since a long time. So we moved from using bottles in everything to shampoo bars, soap bars, and things like that. And we have also made a couple of big changes, especially with our heating system in the house. So we had an electric heating system. It was burning a lot of energy and our electric bills were very scary. So we researched and bought a heat pump. That way we were reducing our energy consumption. At the same time, we were very conscious about how we used a thermostat. And I could think of a couple of funny ones from our culture. This was with regards to water usage. There is a saying in our Indian culture, the more you use water, the more you spend money. So in our culture, it is always appreciated that you use less water. So you are saving upon your money. But here, what I have learned is back home, we would use a bucket and a mug to take a bath. So I have noticed that coming to the United States, we used up a lot of water in the shower. It was so good. You never want to come out. We never thought about the amount of water we would use. So we started having like a bucket and a mug system. So you know you're rationing your water supply. So it struck me because we have, since water is easy here, we tend to use it so generously. And I thought just because we have it doesn't mean you should use all of it. We should still be conscious about what we use.
Well, they are tiny things, but that's a lot. It really adds up to a clear picture of you guys making very conscious decisions about how you run your household and how you live your lives. And clearly, it hasn't always been that way for you. So I'm wondering if each of you could share a little bit about what started that shift in you and how you relate to the environment and the world around you.
Back in India, we used to have a garden. We used to see the greenery only in school parks or in the public gardens where we go and spend some time. And that's a wonderful memory we have in our childhood. But after coming to the United States, we lived in Northwest University campus in the year 2015 to 17. That's when Vidya was doing master's there. So we got privileged to stay inside the campus. And we had a wonderful neighbor. His name is Daniel. And his dad used to come to help him set up his house. And our backyard was pretty patchy in the Northwest University campus. He used to come and do some work in his backyard. But at the same time, as we were strangers, he came to us and he asked if he can sow some seeds and take care of our lawn in the backside of our apartment. So we said yes, and we didn't know how hard it is to put the seed and make it grow. But after seeing him, he put the seeds and he watered it. And after a few months, we could see the green grass, which was so beautiful. And when we sit in the living room, we enjoyed every day seeing the garden there. And yeah, that is our first encounter to understand what makes it, how hard it is to grow a grass lawn. The second thing is, not to embarrass you, Forrest, but that's when you asked us to do puppy sit in 2017 when you were away. So Vidya and I had a privilege to stay in your house and take care of Casey and Pindo. Because that's the first time Vidya and I were there at your place taking care of the house. And you gave instructions in 2 pages, I believe, saying that you have to water it at this time in the morning and evening and give food to the puppies at this time. Yeah, most of the instructions were taking care of your garden. That's when I started watering your plants and the garden early in the morning and in the evening. It took a lot of time. Initially, I thought, oh, I'm wasting so much of time. But after 5-10 minutes, I started connecting with the nature, which was so refreshing. And I never had that experience in my life. That was the first time watering the plants. And I have seen the fruit of the land. I mean, the tomatoes and the squash. And you covered it so well and you protected them. And that's when we understood that this is how exactly God created man. According to Genesis 2:15, he commands Adam to take care of the garden, to keep it and work it. In the same way, we understood that, okay, that's how God wants us to do in our own little, whatever the yards we have. So we started connecting to the nature like that with some unexpected experiences, but we thank God for it. And finally, after we bought a house, we had a tiny bit backyard. But Vidya and I, we started exploring the things. And few months after we got settled in the house, we started working on our yard, in our backyard first. And we started everything new. And somehow we got connected so much to the nature, to water the plants. And it has changed a lot. I mean, all these experiences. And one of the experiences was listening to your podcast. That is also one of the great learning for us, for me especially. I never planned to do this in my house, but after listening to the podcast and seeing people around me, and that's how I learned. And Vidya is my Wikipedia, and she searches everywhere. And I think she's my Google homepage at home. Yeah, she does everything, and she gives me the plan, and I execute it. So that's pretty much about it.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. And you clearly did a really good job of taking care of my garden, because it was all beautiful and alive when I got home.
Well done, guys.
Even my dogs were alive.
Well done.
No. Well, I'm really intrigued, because a couple of times you referred to connecting to relationship to nature. And I'm curious about how that has changed over the last few years. Do you feel like you actually have a relationship with the created world around you?
Yeah, I mean, that's the blessing we have. As per my experience, God made everything beautifully for mankind, and I'm one part of it. If I see from God's view, I might be very tiny, but it shows that how much God has took care of me and how much He loved me. And after seeing this His creation, it shows me that I am valued in His eyes. And He wants me to enjoy every bit of creation, whatever God has planned and created for me. And the only reason I take care of my yard right now is it's God's place. It's God's handmade thing. So I have to take care of whatever it is in my boundaries. So, yeah.
My relationship with nature, I grew up in Hyderabad. It is a metropolitan urban city. I don't remember having any experiences as such with nature growing up, except that I would get once in a few years, I would get to visit my mother's native place, which is another state called Kerala. It is called God's own country because it is so beautiful. It is a land of wetlands and very lush vegetation. So I got to smell the mud. I got to hear the crickets chirping. It was such a beautiful memory. It was like a dream for me because it was only a few days in many years. That was when I would feel so alive. So I would always stick to that memory all throughout my childhood. But coming to the US, which in 2015, after marriage, I never thought what was a dream would be my everyday life, because it was surreal for me that I could be in a place where I was surrounded by so many trees and plants and I can smell the rain and the earth. It was and is still surreal for me. But in terms of the relationship, I think it has evolved over time, that I learned that, you know, God is alive in creation, and doing the groundwork, working on the garden, in the garden, handling plants. That's when I realized that, you know, God is within His creation. And all of those Bible references where Jesus refers to nature, and both in the Old Testament and New Testament, came alive to me in a new way. Like, now it meant what the parable of the seed, it was new. It all felt new to me. It felt real, more real to me in the natural world.
That's great. And you and Sashi have both shared a little bit about your childhood experiences. And as Forrest and I talk to people about their relationship to the non-human world or to creation or to nature, we often ask them about their childhood, because that's when we form our first relationships. And we, you know, hear about their direct contact with the places that they grew up with, but also the way their culture kind of formed them. And having both of you grown up in India, how do you think that location and the cultures within India helped shape you and kind of put you on a path to which you're on now?
India is a beautiful country. It is rich in biodiversity, and in terms of culture too, there is multitude of cultures. And I think it has officially recognized 1,652 languages and dialects just within one country. That's what, when I was studying in school, that's the number. So I think it must have still increased now. I think I would like to point out two things specific to Indian culture. One being, we are a collectivist culture. So there is a collective understanding of self in relation to each other, and the same with the creation too. That means our identity is primarily based on our relationships with others. I always struggled this when I came to the US because I never knew what self meant. What do you think? There is no you in it. There is always we in it. So it took me a while to understand and to navigate that there is also a place for I and not always we. So that's the collectivist nature. I think in terms of creation, there was this thing that creation was not separate from what you are. It is part of you. It's part of your culture. And that is the reason why there's a lot of festivals around nature seasons, like harvest seasons and planting seasons. So the culture was embedded in how nature worked, like because it was primarily agriculture was a profession. So we had harvest festivals where we would celebrate nature's bounty. So that is one example in terms of a culture. And then there is this other aspect of worshipping nature as divine in terms of religion. And that divinity was not just plants, like it's not just the neem tree that was worshipped, or it was not just the holy basil plant that was considered divine, but all aspects of creation. It is also the river Ganges. It is also the mountains, the Himalayan mountains. There was this divinity with all aspects of creation, with soil, with water, which is beautiful. And I think I would add to that these two aspects, how they helped me was they helped me and they challenged me. As I said, that worshiping as divine was a challenge when I became a Christian because I had that fear of idolatry. But at the same time, it also helped me see that God is in creation. He is divine. It is his divine creation. It made it easier as well. It's kind of a paradox that way. When it comes to collectivist, it helped me. I don't know, somehow I was shocked with this understanding in the Western culture that man is given a higher place. And I was like, no, we are all in it together. So the collectivist part of me, it made it easier for me to treat creation as equals. We are not one over the other. It also helped me attach personhood to creation. I know this is how far this is accepted because recently, just 4 years ago, the Indian court granted the river Ganges and its tributary Yamuna personhood to protect it, to conserve it, because 3 decades of efforts were coming nowhere. So they did this so that they can treat the river bodies as a person and, you know, have them give nature the rights that a human being would have. So that was very unique. And I kind of see that in my own relationship with nature, like it's a person too.
Vidya, I think that your particular background and navigating two cultures and two faiths can be really instructive for people who are working out their own relationship with the non-human world. And if it's okay with you, I'd like to read just a little bit of what you wrote in The Ecological Disciple, which is Circlewood's online blog. You had a tremendous post. And one of the things that struck me was the journey from kind of the fear of idolatry, the fear of going too far and having to confront that and realize, well, maybe there's a different way. So you wrote, "I was afraid that I was crossing a line in my faith as I didn't know if it was okay to just sit wondering at God's creation, knowing that he is in it all, very alive and speaking." Can you speak for just a moment about what helped you overcome that fear?
So I overcame this fear basically when I started working on the yard. There were times I would be low, I would be sad, but I would go back into the yard and work the land and I would feel alive. There was some sense of godly comfort. I don't think it's because I come from a non-Christian background. I know what world's peace would look like and what God's peace looks like. And it was more of God's presence that I felt when I was out working the yard. It felt more alive, kind of what I'm supposed to do. I don't know. It was so natural. That's when I realized that why should I fear when it is his own hands that have made it? If his hands have made me and his hands have made the earth and all that is within it, and we believe that your other person, like, you know, your other person can speak, God can speak to people, why can't he? Like, why am I restricting God with my own cultural ideologies, with my own personal frameworks, be it religious or be it cultural? So I just realized that I was constraining God with all of that backlog. So it was like it was a moment.
Well, I think you have a story that people need to hear. And I would encourage our listeners to check out Vidya's writing at www.ecodisciple.com.
We've been talking with Sashi and Vidya Chintala about the lessons they've learned in the process of seeking a more earth-honoring lifestyle. As you've heard them say, the Earth Keepers podcast has been an important source of information and inspiration on that journey. That, of course, is the primary aim of this podcast, to encourage and equip people to be Earth Keepers and advocates for greener living. Here's a message from another listener about the differences this podcast has made in her life.
Hey, Forrest and James, this is Amy. I really like listening to this podcast because it's so encouraging to connect with a hopeful community of people who really care about the earth. So it's helping me and other friends from my church who listen to the podcast make connections with new people and organizations in our own community. And it's giving us lots of new ideas. So keep up the good work.
If you find that this podcast helps you to be a better earth keeper, we'd like to hear from you. Leave us a message via the voicemail link on the podcast webpage, or send us an email at earthkeepers@circlewood.online. That's earthkeepers@circlewood.online. And now, back to our conversation with Vidya and Sashi. Sashi, you have been out in the yard doing whatever Vidya tells you to do. But I'm imagining that you also have a connection, to this project that your yard has become. I will note that I have absolutely loved the videos that you both have posted, and we'll definitely link to those videos in the show notes to the podcast. But it's been wonderful to see the transformation in process and to see how your plants have been growing, what plants you've chosen to put there, just the care and sensitivity to sustainability that you've shown. And I will also say that they've made me a bit jealous because your cucumbers are better than any cucumbers I have grown. So yes, I know, it's true. So I'm going to have to come and sit under your teaching about whatever it is you do. But I would love to hear more about the yard in particular. In some ways, it almost seems like a metaphor, like a physical metaphor for this journey that you're on, this journey of learning and understanding creation in new ways. Could you talk about that process, about your relationship to the yard? And Sashi, I want to start with you because you're apparently the workhorse, right, in the garden. So,
yeah, from the beginning, we did so many mistakes starting from our backyard. We removed the sod completely, and I brought a tilling machine from Home Depot, and I tilled the ground, and I never thought that there will be living things underneath the soil, the earthworms. And after growing the yard and after planting, we made a space for putting the plants, and Vidya is a good planner. And later on, we had a front yard, and we turned that into some native plants, and Vidya planted some plants. While doing that, I didn't do the same mistake. We didn't want to disturb the earthworms and insects, whatever they are inside the ground. We are just covering with one layer of cardboards, and just thinking about, we never had that in our mind. But now when I think about the ground, what are the real heroes behind the screen? They are earthworms and bees and pollinators, butterflies and hummingbirds. I've seen all of them in our backyard. Seeing all this, I mean, Vidya planted some wildflowers, and even the lawn also, she planted eco lawn. That gives food to the bees and pollinators and insects. And also we saw hummingbirds. Probably we'll put a video on in our channel later on. But yeah, seeing them eating food and giving them good food has given a lot of satisfaction. I think in Matthew 6:26, Jesus tells that the Heavenly Father feeds them. And I don't know, I'm privileged to help God, to help feed the birds and the little things around us. So yeah, that's about my experience and understanding throughout this past 1 year.
Vidya, how about you?
Shashi's just mentioned about the lawn. It was It was neglected for 10 years, so we thought to rebuild it. And when I wanted to plant the seed, I started researching, why is it the way it is today? I learned that the green grass lawn we see in most of North America is a sign of prosperity. It was a sign of colonialism, and it required a lot of effort. It required a lot of money. And I was like, okay, what is the benefit? Nothing. Like, seriously, it was just good to the eyes. I was kind of taken aback. And I was thinking, it stood in stark contrast to what God's plan was for creation. The grass lawns were uniform. It required a lot of maintenance. There was no sustainability within it. It just required more and more and more, just like the corporate world that we are in. But God's plan is different. He always plans things that are diverse and that are sustainable. And that's when I took me to an eco-lawn principle, where you would have grass along with something else, like a diverse lawn. Our lawn is basically grass and microclover. So the microclover would fix nitrogen within its roots and feed the grass, so we don't need to fertilize it. It has deep roots, so we don't need to irrigate it as often as we need to. And we don't need to keep mowing it. And when it would flower, it was excellent food for the bees. And that way, it was like a win-win for everybody. And our lawn never turned brown all throughout the summer. It stayed green all the while. So that was the first learning, kind of rewinding why things are done the way it is and redoing things in a different way. And then with the plants, what we did was we started doing companion planting. That's when you plant two plants together that support each other. For example, the French marigolds protected the soil health. So we would have French marigolds in bunches to feed the pollinators, but also to provide good health for the soil. It would kill harmful nematodes within the soil. So things like that, like carrots would go well with tomatoes, beans with cucumbers, because cucumbers need a lot of food. So I planted the cucumbers with the beans. So the beans would fix nitrogen and feed the cucumbers. So I didn't need to fertilize it. It all took care of itself, I should say. And then the microclover brought all the bees for the pollination. So we had good yield too. So it was just about understanding how creation works and just doing whatever we can within our means to bring parts of it. Basically listening, just listening would do. I think a little bit of research. Everything is out there. Like, I did everything online. You have all the information out there. It was just going to the right place, just having the interest to learn. And God helped me throughout. And Shashi had the patience to do all the work too with me.
I think the word that's coming to mind as you describe the transformation that your yard has gone through is abundance.
Yes.
And I know it's not as if you have a massive yard. I think our listeners should be encouraged to go see your video, because they can see what's possible in small spaces to bring that kind of abundance right out your back door. And it's providing food for your family, for the creatures around your home, and nourishing your soul as well, which is very, very clear from what you're saying, which is just lovely. And I also know we had your daughter, Ava, join us via video just a few minutes ago for a bit. And she's been part of this journey with you as well. Can you talk a little bit about she's young, but how have you seen the impact on her?
One particular instance comes to my mind as a mother was, I had this house plant. It was way back when she was just 18 months then. And it was a beautiful house plant. She was mad at me for something and she plucked the leaf off the plant. And I was like, I was so upset. I was like, Ava, why did you do this? She just kept silent. And then I didn't know what to do. How would I tell her? And then I told her, Ava, this is not a thing. It's a living thing. You know, say sorry to the plant, go hug the plant. And she thought for a minute and then she went hug the plant and she gave it a kiss. And then from then, every day she would come, I would tell her, go hug the plant, say hi to the plant. So that way, she started connecting and the plant was another being in the house. And she never tried to hurt any plant after that. She would be careful and I am so thankful. I think that's how I kind of want her to connect to nature, give it the respect it deserves and the honor it deserves. So now whenever we harvest, it is our principle that, you know, we thank God first. That's our faith. At the same time, we would also make sure that she thanks the plant. You know, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And then she would say, thank you, plant, for the fruit. And then whenever we go out for a hike, Shashi would make sure that she says hi to the river, or, you know, bye river, hi river. So kind of that personal bonding, I think that's where she's right now. She's very keen these days. She would see a bird even before we would see. Even we'd be driving by, she would notice what's around her. Maybe it's a bird or a bee. So I really like that. She's getting to do all this, which we never had the opportunity to do. And she's getting to see what a carrot plant looks like, because me or Shashi in our lifetimes haven't seen what a sunflower plant would look like or how a corn plant would look like. This is all first time. We are seeing it for the first time in our lives, how carrots are taken out of the ground. So I'm glad that she's getting to experience it and think that is normal. That is how it is.
Today in the morning, it was a little bit raining. With Eva and I was just sitting on the sofa watching outside. Suddenly she saw a bird. A bird was chirping. It was doing some noise, and Eva suddenly saw that and she went there, and we tell her, don't scare the birds. Be sensitive to them. And it's a great thing to see my daughter in her young age connecting to these birds and nature. It's so exciting to see her, and we thank God for this opportunity that she is experiencing this wonderful God's creation.
Well, you guys are great parents, and Ava's a beautiful child, and I think it won't be long before she starts bringing both of you plans for the next stage of your home improvement projects. But I do know that you're obviously working very intentionally with her to cultivate this kind of awareness and connection. But you've also done that with other children. In particular, using our friends from Arasha, they've created a wonderful curriculum for children called Wild Wonder. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience using that with some children in your community?
It was actually wonderful and adventurous, I should say. We ourselves were brand new to creation care. So it was something we learned and practiced only in the past couple of years, if I might say that. So I knew this was also a starting place for my friends and community too. When I was browsing through the Circle Woods website, I came across the Arosha's curriculum, and I was so excited. I just, like any mother who wants the best for her child, I wanted it for Eva. I wanted Eva to learn all that she could about creation care. So it has been on my mind. This last summer, I bought it. And then when I went through it, I learned so much, so much. And I was like, if this shouldn't stay just with me or my child, I should share it with as many kids as I can or as many friends as I can. So I started thinking about my friends' kids. I got them a few kids together, probably 5 or 6 of them. I got them together and we did a summer camp. It was a 5-day camp. We did it over 3 days, over 2 weekends and a Friday. And the kids had so much fun. They enjoyed it. They loved it. My goal was basically behind all of this was 2 things, I would say. First was for the kids to look at creation and see and understand their creator God. So next time when they see something, the first thing that comes to their mind is God himself, to see that coming up in them. And then the second thing was that for them to know that their Christian faith, you know, which they are developing in, actually actively seeks to care for creation. I think that because creation care isn't something that is so, I wouldn't say often, is very little talked of in, you know, religious circles. So I didn't want my child or, you know, kids in my circle to grow up thinking that it is as biblical as it can be to care for creation. So I wanted for them to see that through this curriculum offered that was a means to achieve that. And I loved it. And the kids started connecting creation to God, to their faith. It was such a beautiful thing, I would say. And then there was another added benefit was another goal was that when the kids start learning, it would start conversation within their homes with their parents. So the parents also can start getting exposed and, you know, start learning about creation care. So I think kids are key in our community. I believe kids are key in our community. It should start from there.
So when one looks around today at environmental degradation or the things that are happening because of climate change, I know that for me and for others, it's a little bit hard to have hope sometimes, right? And especially when I think about my daughter and her future, it's a little bit hard to know where to find hope. And I would love to hear from both of you, you know, as you're thinking about your daughter's future or even the future of these other children that you're influencing, where do you find the hope in terms of what it is you're trying to do?
God is taking care of me today, and he will take care of my daughter too. And even if we have one more kid, that's fine. God has a plan for her, and all we have to do is just to give her the basics strong and to make her sensitive and to think about others. I am sure that whatever we are learning, I think Ava or my daughter will, God will definitely make use of it in his time, and we are doing our best, I think.
I believe as people who worship a Redeemer God, I think there is hope for us in that God is beyond all of these things. He's still giving us opportunity. If we can learn at this stage of our life, and if we are given the privilege to educate our kids and raise them so much better than how we were raised in this aspect, I think there is hope. And I also believe that, you know, this is my prayer for my child, is that she would grow up being sensitive and compassionate. I think it is just the fact that if we can raise the level of sensitivity and the level of compassion in our kids, I think they will have that. They will seek the answers. They will figure it out. I have hope.
We've been in conversation with Sashi and Vidya Chintala. For videos that document some of their journey to going green, check out their YouTube channel called Wildly Wonderful World. You can find a link to this site and links to other points of interest presented in the podcast on the Earthkeepers podcast website at www.circuwa.online/earthkeepers. If you appreciate this podcast and want to help us expand its global reach, please show your support by subscribing. Just go to whatever platform you listen to podcasts on and hit the subscribe or follow button for the Earthkeepers podcast. Earthkeepers podcast explores ways in which we can change ourselves, our communities, and our cultures to help us to care for the earth in holistic and regenerative ways. Through curated conversations, we highlight the wisdom of thought leaders and change agents who are making a difference and showing us a way forward. When Earthkeepers stand together, they amplify the impact of their resistance against environmental injustice and multiply their efforts for renewal and restoration. I am Forrest Inslee, your podcast host. Our executive producer is James Amidon. Our producer is Dave Olfers. Forrest Reed is our editor and the creator of our original music. Our research assistant is Rochelle Nordman. And Jessalyn Meggerly is our social media director. Thank you, friends, for listening. And please join us next time on the Earthkeepers podcast.